More information is available at hewlett.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Heat advisory in effect for most of us till 9 o'clock tonight. It is 96 degrees in Lawrence, but it feels like 105. It's 6:06.
This is All Things Considered from NPR. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, we are always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. 6:36, we're going to talk about developments with the cyclosporiasis outbreak. We'll learn more about USAID cuts in Nigeria and the human cost of those. And we're going to talk about the halftime show at the World Cup. 11 whole minutes, just absolutely jam-packed with stars. Details coming right up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Tom Harper with Stevens Real Estate, specializing in helping people buy and sell unique and older homes in Lawrence. More information at tom-harper.com or on Instagram at Lawrence Modern.
August 4th is a primary election day in Kansas, each party choosing its candidates for governor in the U.S. Senate. Crowded fields, but you can hear the candidates in their own words at our website. We ask them to tell KPR listeners, hey, what should you vote for me? Hear their responses right now at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events in its new speakeasy space with a quintessentially Lawrence feel at 1026 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence. Venue and booking information online at maselli's.com.
Heat advisory is in effect until 9 o'clock for virtually all of the KPR listening area. The exceptions, it's in effect till 8 p.m. for Allen and Greenwood counties and till 7 p.m. for Lynn and Miami counties.
Support for NPR News.
The Iran war is escalating with several U.S. service members killed and hundreds wounded over the weekend. Now Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is heading to Congress looking for a $350 billion funding boost. That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition is the show. A great way to start off your day with the latest news and more.
Support for KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle near Emporia. Richard Porter believes the financial commitment of listeners makes it possible for KPR to provide in-depth news and music daily, and is proud to support the goals and mission of Kansas Public Radio.
News headlines are coming up next. It is 96 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. Feels like 105. We have a heat advisory in effect until 9 p.m. It's 6:30.
Assessor Starmer said he's giving Burnham his full support as he reverts to what they call a backbencher in Parliament. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Stocks finished mostly lower on Wall Street today. Oil and gas prices are back up again. The Dow lost more than 300 points. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The state of Kansas has made progress in lowering its food assistance program payment error rate. The state may still have to pay millions for the program next year. The One Big Beautiful Bill requires each state to pay for part of SNAP if their error rate is 6%. Kansas would have to pay around $40 million based on its recent error rate of 9.4%. That's actually down from 9.9% in the previous year. Elizabeth Kiever is the chief resource officer with Harvesters, a regional food bank. She says things like the government shutdown have affected the rate's accuracy.
We need Congress to delay these changes, or else we are going to see the SNAP benefits disappear across the country state by state because states cannot afford the additional dollars for these programs.
Unless Congress delays the changes, states could start paying next October. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach says the state will receive more than $225,000 from a multi-state settlement with genetic testing company 23andMe over a data breach. State House reporter Zach Boblett has the details.
The breach impacted more than 51,000 Kansans. Kansas and 42 other states are a part of the lawsuit settlement. The payment to Kansas is relatively small, but the affected people were eligible to apply for part of a nearly $47 million class action agreement. The settlement resolves allegations that the genetic testing company failed to use reasonable security measures before a data breach exposed the personal and genetic information of millions of customers worldwide. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
U.S. Representative Charisse Davids is calling on the Trump administration to release funding that supports local museums and cultural organizations. The Kansas Democrat, along with Emanuel Cleaver II, a Democrat from Missouri, have sent a letter to the director of the Federal Office of Management and Budget. In the letter, the members of Congress say President Trump signed a bill authorizing more than $30 million in funding for national heritage areas more than 5 months ago. But they say many organizations have still not received the promised funding. Davids and Cleaver say the delay is causing, quote, significant strain on the organizations, which have already been stretched thin by small budgets. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, a heat advisory in effect for most of the KPR listening area through 9 p.m. There is a heat advisory for Tuesday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. for Anderson and Coffee counties. Tonight, we are expecting lows only getting down to the mid to upper 70s. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is All Things Considered. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
For America's 250th, Morning Edition got to take a closer look at some of the tools that shaped this country.
They bought it in Philadelphia from a compass maker there.
There's no way Lewis and Clark could have known all that would come. The whole point of exploring is you don't know what you're going to find.
Explore history as we know it every weekday morning with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.9 FM in Atchison. Lots of frequencies all listed for you at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Health Heart Center, providing cardiovascular testing, procedures, and preventative care. More information is available at lmh.org/heart.
Stay tuned. We do still have another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, we'll have a repeat of Classics Live from last week. Classical music till 9, then it's Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned at 7:01 for a rebroadcast of this week's This American Life.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
100 degrees in Manhattan feels like 108. 94 in Atchison feels like 107. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
From this station. And from Schwab, offering the Schwab Teen Investor Account, where teens can gain hands-on investing experience. It's co-owned by parents and teens, so parents can monitor the account while teens learn how to invest. More at schwab.com. From DuckDuckGo, a private search engine and browser. DuckDuckGo believes AI should be optional and private. Now with Duck.ai, users can chat privately with AI. Learn more at Duck.ai. And from Sleep Number, offering three mattress collections with personalized features and the goal of providing people more choices based on their needs. Learn more at SleepNumber.com or a Sleep Number store. This is NPR.
Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day with what you need to know, thoughtful conversations, and dare I say, some pretty great company. Join us.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, working with individuals, families, and communities to promote independent living and individual choice to persons with disabilities. More info at rcilinc.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Coming up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then an hour of classical music, followed at 8 o'clock by a rebroadcast of this past week's Classics Live. At 9 o'clock, we will shift over to our jazz programming for the evening.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, hosting a donation drive at the Lead Center in Lawrence Tuesday, July 21st from 4 to 7 p.m., accepting gently used stereo equipment, vinyl records, cassette tapes, and musical instruments. Details at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
A heat advisory till 9 o'clock tonight for virtually all of the KPR listening area. The heat advisory expires at 8 tonight for Allen and Greenwood counties, though. It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels have announced an embargo against Saudi Arabia. It comes in retaliation for a blockade on Yemen and a recent attack on Sana'a International Airport. The embargo affects the gateway to the Red Sea as Saudi Arabia seeks an alternative to the Strait of Hormuz on the Persian Gulf side of the country. And that raises fears of further destabilization of the world's energy market, as Suzanne Maloney of the Brookings Institution explains.
If you saw a closure of the Red Sea in addition to a closure of the Strait of Hormuz. At this point in the conflict, with strategic reserves having been drawn down as significantly as they have and without a lot of opportunity during the ceasefire to in fact restore them, we would see potentially some overreaction from both oil markets and the broader economy in terms of inflation. So I think there's going to be a real time pressure.
The former leader of one of Mexico's most notorious drug cartels has been sentenced in a U.S. court to life in prison. Ismael Zambada Garcia, known as El Mayo, helped found the Sinaloa cartel along with Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
U.S. authorities arrested El Mayo Zambada in 2024. He pleaded guilty last year in federal court in Brooklyn to running a criminal enterprise and racketeering conspiracy. Now, U.S. District Judge Brian Cogan has sentenced El Mayo to life in prison. El Mayo's Sinaloa cartel co-founder, El Chapo, is already serving a life sentence in a U.S. lockup. Joseph Nocella is the U.S. attorney in Brooklyn.
Over three decades, El Mayo and El Chapo built the Sinaloa cartel into the largest drug trafficking organization that the world has ever seen.
Nocella says the two men flooded the United States with deadly drugs, corrupted Mexican officials and institutions, and used horrific violence to protect and grow their criminal empire. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Tropical Depression 2 has formed in the Gulf of Mexico. Current models have it grazing coastal Louisiana and Texas. Mel Bridges with member station WWNO explains.
Tropical Depression 2 has been forming in the Atlantic Hurricane Basin for 4 days. Originally, hurricane forecasters had the storm hitting the Florida Panhandle or even petering out in the Gulf, but current models show the system skimming coastal Louisiana. As Louisiana State climatologist Jay Grimes explains, it wouldn't take much movement for the storm to hit Metro New Orleans as well.
Would require a big shift, just something on the order of 30 or 40 miles. Could bring higher wind energy and maybe more importantly, a little more rain into Metro New Orleans.
Louisiana has already been hit by another named storm this hurricane season, post-tropical storm Arthur, which spawned at least 14 tornadoes across the state and left a wave of damage in coastal parishes in June. For NPR News, I'm Mel Bridges in New Orleans.
Major Wall Street indexes closed down slightly today. This is NPR.
Stardate July 20th. In a field of volcanic rocks and red dunes on the planet Mars, an emissary from Earth sits quietly. Powdery dust may coat its white surface, possibly hiding the American flag and bicentennial logo from view. Extreme cold might have cracked some of its lenses and other components. But if humans ever colonize Mars, they'll certainly visit this relic, the first craft to successfully land on the red planet. The Viking 1 lander touched down 50 years ago today. It was one of four craft in the Viking project, two landers and two orbiters. Viking 1 wasn't the first probe to touch down on Mars. The Soviet Union's Mars 3 had landed in 1971, but it died less than 2 minutes later, so it didn't return any information about Mars. The Viking 1 and 2 landers snapped thousands of pictures. They monitored the weather and measured the composition of the soil and atmosphere. The landers also looked for signs of life. Their cameras saw no moving objects on the surface and no growing plants. Chemical laboratories found no organic molecules in the soil. They did find chemical reactions like those produced by microorganisms on Earth. But scientists at the time decided the reactions were produced by the soil, not life. More about that tomorrow. The Viking 1 lander operated for 3 Mars years, more than 6 Earth years. Scientists continue to study its findings to learn more about the intriguing red planet. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Symphony Orchestra. It's classical music for our Monday evening. I'm Steve Seal. Good to be with you as always. We are starting this new week together. I got Stravinsky and Schubert on the way, something contemporary as well from the British-Bulgarian composer Dobrynka Tabakova, who's always very enjoyable. And this is from Edouard Lalo, the overture to Le Roi X, based on the old Breton legend of the drowned city of Ys, that would be Y-S. Le Roi X. The Le Roi d'Is Overture, the King of the City of Is. Music of Edward Lalo. Roberto Benzi conducted the Bordeaux Aquitaine Orchestra. They got a whole orchestra there.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Friends of the Press, a membership program of the University Press of Kansas that supports the publication of scholarly and regional books. More information at kansaspress.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 97 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 97 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Like that Lalo, we just heard, French music is the inspiration, at least, for this next piece by the modern Bulgarian-British composer Dobrinka Tabakova. She wrote her suite in old style as an homage to Jean-Philippe Rameau, the great French composer of the late Baroque period, and she describes it as glimpses from everyday life at an 18th-century aristocratic household. Hunting, courting in the gardens, dancing, and entertaining in opulent surroundings. Sweet in Old Style by Dobrinka Tabakova, played there by violist Maksim Rizanov with the Lithuanian Chamber Orchestra, and Mr. Rizanov conducting as well. Forel, The Trout by Franz Schubert, that just piano arrangement, that piece originally for singer and piano, that arrangement made by Franz Liszt, actually, and played for us by Daniil Trifonov.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 96 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 96 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Igor Stravinsky at his bubbly best in this work, something that positively percolates, the Dumbarton Oaks Concerto, as played here by the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, led by Christopher Hogwood. ¶¶
Thank you. Thank you.
Igor Stravinsky's Dumbarton Oaks Concerto, named for the estate of a wealthy couple who commissioned that work for him. And we heard the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Christopher Hogwood. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 96 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 96 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Applause for the Chamber Orchestra of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 with guest conductor Alex Klein. That was the Second Symphony by Franz Joseph Haydn. Welcome to opening night for Sunflower 2025. We're here in White Concert Hall at Washburn. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live from KPR. Since last year's theme was firsts, so many first concertos for symphonies to choose from. This year's theme is called Back for Seconds. In fact, next we'll hear the Second Symphony of Robert Schumann, an uplifting piece despite his depression and bad health problems throughout 1846. Here's Alex Klein, guest conductor tonight of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival, to direct Schumann's Second Symphony.
Thank you.
actually the third symphony he'd written. He wrote two previously in 1841. That was the so-numbered Symphony No. 2 in C major, Opus 64 by Robert Schumann. Completely sketched out over Christmas 1845, Schumann spent most of 1846 writing it all out and perfecting the orchestration. We've just heard Schumann's second symphony played by the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra in their opening night performance from Friday, June 20th. Alex Klein, who's usually principal oboist here, took a turn as conductor. Chuck Smith is KPR's sound engineer, who records these live and local classical performances for Classics Live. I'm your classical friend and concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Productions of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
another KPR recording. That was concert pianist John Nakamatsu, who came to KPR March 29th, 2024, to play the third impromptu, Opus 90, by Franz Schubert. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Flatland, Kansas City PBS's nonprofit newsroom. Committed to providing context and solutions to some of this region's biggest challenges. Delivered weekly to email inboxes. More at flatlandkc.org/subscribe. And the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond through health research, public safety training, workforce development, natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsworth Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. military says it ended its latest round of airstrikes targeting Iran as the nations vie for control of the Strait of Hormuz. The strikes came as the British military reported yet another tanker came under attack in the strait. Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels have announced an embargo against Saudi Arabia. It comes in retaliation for a blockade on Yemen and a recent attack on Sana'a International Airport. The embargo affects the gateway to the Red Sea as Saudi Arabia seeks an alternative to the Strait of Hormuz on the Persian Gulf side of the country. The blockade raises fears of further destabilization of the world's energy market, as Suzanne Maloney of the Brookings Institution explains.
If you saw a closure of the Red Sea in addition to a closure of the Strait of Hormuz, at this point in the conflict, with strategic reserves having been drawn down as significantly as they have, and without a lot of opportunity during the ceasefire to in fact restore them, we would see potentially some overreaction from both oil markets and the broader economy in terms of inflation. So I think there's going to be a real time pressure.
The FDA retracted test results identifying cyclospora on samples of lettuce from Taylor Farms in Mexico. This false positive result shows how hard it is to trace the source of the outbreak, as NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
Cyclospora parasites are hard to test for and trace. The tested sample might not reflect the entire crop, for example. Plus, Rutgers microbiologist Donald Schaffner says there are often unrelated cases that crop up every summer.
Just because you're sick with cyclospora right now doesn't mean that you're part of this cluster of cases that have an epicenter in Michigan and Ohio. Sometimes we can figure out what's causing it, and sometimes we can't.
For now, regulators recommend avoiding the recalled Taylor Farms lettuce. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
A federal judge has temporarily halted the proposed merger of Paramount Skydance and Warner Brothers Discovery. This pauses what would be the largest deal in Hollywood history, as NPR's Mondolit Del Barco reports.
The judge ruled in favor of the temporary halt while considering an antitrust lawsuit filed by attorneys general from 12 states, including California and New York. They're trying to block the $111 billion merger, which they argue is unlawful. Last week, California AG Rob Bonta's office argued in court that the deal would unfairly give too much power to the combined company Paramount and Warner Brothers, resulting in fewer movies and TV shows made, job losses at the studios, and higher prices for consumers. All of these are claims that David Ellison's company, Paramount Skydance, denies. It's asking that any litigation be settled by the end of September, when the company would have to begin paying fees of $7 million a day for any delay. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
This is NPR. The Women's Tennis Association is introducing one-off mandatory gene testing for all players, updating its eligibility policy to include gender screening based on biological sex ahead of the 2028 Olympics in L.A. The International Olympic Committee introduced a gender eligibility policy earlier this year to align with President Trump's executive order on transgender athletes. A new study finds many packaged foods that claim to contain avocado oil don't contain what the label says. NPR's Maria Godoy has more.
Browse the aisles of the grocery store and you'll find chips, dressings, and mayonnaise all boasting that they're made with avocado oil. But when UC Davis professor Selena Wong noticed this trend, she got curious because her past research has found that most bottled avocado oils sold in stores are either rancid or they've been adulterated with other oils. So she submitted 54 products to chemical analysis and found that 89% showed signs of being mixed with other cheaper oils like soybean oil.
If you're buying avocado oil products, it's very likely that you're not getting what you're paying for.
She says that's a problem because avocado oil products are often significantly more expensive than those made with other oils. Maria Godoy, NPR News.
Mount Olympus, the mythological home of ancient Greece's gods, may soon join UNESCO's World Heritage List. Greeks hope the mountain's blend of myth, culture, and natural beauty will secure it a place when the World Heritage Committee meets in South Korea next week. Locals say the mountain needs protection as an increase in tourism impacts the environment. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
Some terrific jazz out of Kansas City to open the night's Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio. It's the Chris Hazleton Quartet playing the Lee Morgan tune, Speedball. Chris, of course, at the Hammond B3 organ. The saxophonist there, Brett Jackson, playing Barry. He plays a lot of tenor on the album, but Barry there, Vibus Peter Schlamm, drummer John Kazulumut. The Chris Hazleton album, In Rotation, here on KPR. I'm Bob McWilliams. Thanks so much for joining me. Had to deal with some medical stuff last week, so Tom Parkinson was here in my stead and always does a great job. And I'm thrilled to be back to share music with you, including new albums by a wonderful clarinet player from Canada, Virginia McDonald, by a three-woman singing group called Duchess, and out of the vinyl vault in just a few minutes, the great vibraphonist Milt Jackson here on Jazz in the Night. One of the great small groups in the history of jazz was just around for a couple of years. The Clifford Brown, Max Roach Quintet. We're going to hear from 1954 and the album Brown and Roach Incorporated. And Clifford Brown's on trumpet, Max Roach on drums, of course. Harold Land on tenor sax, George Morrow bass, Richie Powell at the piano for this arrangement of Cole Porter's I Get a Kick Out of You.